T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It was a third straight day of face-offs between thousands of angry protesters and riot police in at least two Iranian cities. The anger of mostly young Iranians directed at the regime in Tehran after it admitted to shooting down that Ukrainian Airlines jetliner last week. Iran's leadership has reacted with violent suppression and is making moves to cut off the country's internet from the outside world.
This adds to what was an already very complicated equation when it comes to dealing with Iran. The Islamic Republic is far from a monolith, and frankly might be just as divided on politics as we are here in the U.S. Yashar Ali is a contributor and analyst for New York Magazine, Huffington Post, and much more. He also happens to be an Iranian-American. So it's probably confusing to some Americans because one day you turn on the TV and it's the familiar chant of death to America. That certainly happened after the assassination of Iran's top general. And now you turn on the TV and you hear them condemning their own government. So what's going on?
So what you have now is, you know, there's a lot of confusion about this sort of what some people see as a shift in the focus from protesters. As you said, Iran is not a monolith. There are 80 million people. Different protests mean different things. But it's important to note that Iranians are very sensitive to external interference in their affairs. So I'll start with the CIA-backed coup in 1953 that reinstalled the Shah. And because they are, they don't want outsiders dealing with their issues. So it's true that a lot of Iranians were angry at the United States for killing Qasem Soleimani, but that doesn't mean that they liked him. They just don't want the United States to do it. And so this new wave of protests is centered across around, of course, the plane crash, the Ukraine Airlines plane crash, which we now know, of course, was shot down by the Revolutionary Guard. And you see these protests because there were Iranians on the flight. And the government made an enormous mistake, behaving how it usually does, which means that it's quite opaque. Its communications are filled with lies. And they made a huge miscalculation, which is why you saw the government apologizing in a way they never do. So the point is that it's not a monolith, but Iranians were reacting last week to external interference. That doesn't mean they liked Qasem Soleimani, not by a long shot.
So does this kind of a thing, these new protests, does this get more traction? We are in day three, or does it dissipate like previous protests? I mean, we have the reports of actual live ammo being used, and that has made people even angrier.
Here's the challenge, particularly when I'm speaking to folks like you. I don't know, and no one knows, because particularly in Iran and also the Middle East, these protests have a way of sort of growing very rapidly and unexpectedly. And government action can often make them much, much, much larger. And sometimes, as we saw a couple months ago, they can eliminate them completely because they were willing to kill so many people. I'm not so sure that the government will do that again, because it would bring a lot of attention from the international community if they did. So it's a wait and see. Two important dates are coming up: the anniversary of the Iranian Revolution, that's in early February, and then the 40th day of Qasem Soleimani's death, which in Islam and in Iranian culture is an important sort of day to remember the person who died. So it's this is not done by any stretch of the imagination.
Is there any reason to believe that maybe we are sort of seeing the beginnings of what could end up being a regime change there?
It's hard to guess, but I will tell you, regime change in Iran is not like, and I understand why people think this, it will never be like what we saw during the Arab Spring or with Saddam Hussein. The Iranian government is sprawling. It has very deep roots. You can take out the supreme leader, you can take out any number of officials, and there's 100 more people where they came from. And so, and you have the entire Congress, too. So I don't know, but it will be a lot harder. I suspect that one would see regime change over time, a shift from conservative to more progressive. But I would be surprised if it happened in sort of an instantaneous way as we saw during the Arab Spring.
Well, I think we were talking last week and you were telling us, look, bottom line, some of the hardliners are always very insulated from things. And that's how they're still in power. Things don't get to them.
Things don't get to them. And they also, they also know they have the full power of the Revolutionary Guard behind them. Which is why the Ayatollah Khomeini, when he came into power in 1979, set up the Revolutionary Guard to prevent against things like this and to not have a disloyal military. So even if the military shifts with somebody else, you've got 100,000 very, very passionate fighters that will defend the Islamic Republic.
Yashar Ali, contributor, analyst, New York Magazine, HuffPost, and much more.